Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is September 24th, 2020.
Saints, the world's in turmoil. Most don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. If you have an emergency, text Dan. Let him know you're going to call him at 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates with the breaking news and Wichita, all about the Wichita Mission Update.
Put it in your own words.
And the radio program archives and all the contact information is over at our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com.
Okay, folks, for National Satellite Radio Program, which is simulcast on the net internationally. It's on YouTube, it's on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime.
On another note, let's thank our listener base in places like, worldwide places like Parquet.
That's Prague.
Oh, that's Prague?
Prague, yeah,
okay.
It is. I know
Chats Republic.
Lots of luck.
Khabarovsk, Russia Federation.
Well, the way the Russians talk, you'd think it'd be Karovsk or something like that, you know. But anyway, hello to our friends in Russia, in the Russian Federation, in other words, in Russia. Go ahead.
Yeah, the city of Zagreb, Kortesia?
No, that's Croatia.
Croatia?
Croatia.
Croatia.
That's how.
Well, you got a lot of foreign things there, don't you?
Well, we always do.
Oh.
You know.
Well, at least some of them I can pronounce. Okay.
Well, that's because these aren't English based ones, you know, and it's harder to, you know, unless you've heard the way they pronounce it, just because it's spelled that way, you can't pronounce it as it's spelled because it's just different. Go ahead.
So let's think the places in the USA as Omaha, Nebraska, San Jose, California, Greensboro, North Carolina, and shout out to Augusta, Kansas,
who listens
by satellite.
Yeah, that's somebody that listens to satellite.
Cool.
And they dropped into the mission church and dropped off some stuff Tuesday, so I'm giving a shout-out to them.
Awesome. And then Wichita, Kansas is the largest group that listens later when it podcasts tonight.
Okay, folks. If you want to, you can send us an email by radio at messiahsbranch.org or text to my phone and let me know where you're at. We won't use your text or email or any of that stuff for donations or won't hear from me again unless you want to hear from us. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. We do have a lot to talk about tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray. Father, I just pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father, and that you would please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So, Father Yahweh, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. And we'll get our song first.
Remove thou and cast in the sea. I believe. things which I say come to pass, and have whatsoever I say. Yes, I have whatsoever I say.
Well, amen. Tell the old mountain to get out of the way and believe by faith and the mountain will be gone. Big thing about people should remember about prayers is a couple of things. One, make sure you're pretty in good repentance before prayer because, you know, some little things can stumble upon them and stop it. Anyway, but besides that, that will clog up a prayer. But you have to believe by faith. But not all prayers are going to get answered in the mannerism you want. So you need to pray by faith. Pray by faith and pray something that glorifies the Father. If it doesn't glorify the Father, it's very doubtful that he's going to do it. But he has answered those before, and we've seen if you read just the Exodus account, you'll see how people wanted things and scream for things, and they got them anyway, and it wasn't very good for them, right?
And sometimes he answers prayers in ways that we have no imagine of what he's doing, because just like when I prayed for 3 months off, and
three months off of what?
3 months off of work so I could clean my house and get everything straightened and organized, and 3 months off of rest. Well, I got 3 months off, but it was maternity leave.
It was maternity leave. That was for my last son that's sitting over there.
He's my vacation. That's a lifetime family judgment.
So, yeah, you call Elijah your vacation. All the other children were prayed for specifically, but you did pray for him, but that's how the Father answered it.
And that's why we couldn't figure out how I got pregnant, because did you pray for him? No. Did you pray for me to get pregnant? No. Well, then when I was on maternity leave, oh, very funny. Okay, I did pray for him.
Yeah, And I'm sure he laughed at you. Anyway, I'm awful glad he's here.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says,
"If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land."
Now, amen. Even Mike Pence has been saying this, you know, and of course Mike Pence is the Vice President of the United States. And so there's some kickers here. It says you have to humble yourself, admit your guilt, turn from your way. Now, there is a thing. That's part of being saved. We'll go into that in a little bit later, but first we're going to talk about a couple of things. So, I do believe that maybe there is going to be a turning away in this nation. First off, let's talk about Justice Ginsburg, or whatever her name is, that just died. What's her name?
Yeah, Supreme Justice seat that's open.
Right. I see something in that. I see there's a possibility of something in that. If the country is indeed starting to turn from their ways, then the main roadblock I see between America being turned around by the Father, you know, and being healed is
abortion.
Abortion, the murder of children.
Right.
Okay, so what's that got to do with the Supreme Court justice? Well,
a whole lot.
Okay, well, you know what I'm thinking?
Roe versus Wade.
So, yes, if we can get another Supreme Court justice on there that's conservative, that's against Roe versus Wade, we might actually get it turned over, and then that would stop abortion, and then that would do leaps and bounds towards healing our nation.
Now, there'll be angels dancing in heaven, huh?
Yeah, well, amen. I don't know if angels dance, but okay.
It'll be feast day.
Well, I know they praise and worship, you know. They're constantly, you know, hallelujah, you know what I'm saying. But anyway, so yeah, absolutely. So I can see that. So we'll go into a couple of signs here real quickly. We're going to use the first part of the program for this part. I've got some other things to say after the middle. Okay, so first off, I'm going to talk about, now later on, Prophecy Club, Stan Johnson's going to be on with me in the second program, and we're going to talk about that solemn assembly that he had. Now, he had he started on Friday, which was, you know,
the 18th.
Which was what?
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah. I'd rather call it Feast of Trumpets. Anyway, the Feast of Trumpets started. And as the Feast of Trump started, they had 48, they called it Solemn September Assembly. There were 48 straight hours of fasting and prayer to save the nation. Well, he said the preferred fast was no food, but you can drink water, coffee, juice, and take prescriptions. Don't hurt yourself. He said there was 30, I'm reading from his advertisement, 30 minutes of praise and worship, morning and evening, guest ministers to lead prayer topics. Limited to 15 minutes. Remaining time is open. This is a big kicker. Open microphone prayer, limited to more than 5 minutes each. Overhead images change every 5 minutes. No big deal. Okay, so what happened? I talked to Stan. We're going to talk about this later when it comes on, but I'm touching on it now because it's part of my subject. What happened was is there was a line of people, and they just continually came up to the microphone. They were to pray and talk just a couple of minutes. They had to change people every 5 minutes.
Right.
He said there was consistently a line all through the night. It never stopped. So there were continual prayers coming out of there for the repentance of this nation.
Awesome.
Fasting prayers.
Right.
Now, you know, a fasting prayer is much, much more powerful than a normal prayer in normal circumstances. So you have over 400 people fasting and praying continually for 48 hours.
Doesn't the word say that if you're struggling to hear from the Lord, if you fast, you keep fasting until you hear from Him?
Well, that is
something like that.
That's a principle. That's what most people fast for. If they say, "Well, I want to hear from the Father on something, you know, or hear from the Lord, whatever,"
and you're not hearing, then you just start fasting until you hear.
Well, and that's what a lot of people do. That's not always successful.
All right.
You know, but Yes, and fasting and praying. You know, you're praying and fasting. In other words, denying things, self-denial. But anyway, so yeah, you're right about that. So that is what people use normal fasting for, to get answers from the Father.
So is he going to do it again in October?
Yeah, you're pointing to that. He's going to have another one on October 31st, and the guy that wants him to do that at his place, a pastor, that said, for one, he gave a testimony about his wife that she couldn't pray very well, but she got up there and she was just, she now can pray like you wouldn't believe. And so can a lot of these other people. Stan said the people were, they'd go through the line and do their thing, and then they'd jump back and run back to the end of the line and so they could go
do it again.
And do it again. But these people, they came in with mats and pillows and things, you know, and a jug of water, and sit down and, you know, we're hardcore for 48 hours. That's a big thing.
Right.
That is a really big thing. And so there was this going on for 48 hours straight. Absolutely. Okay, so that's the Solemn Assembly. Now, we'll talk about Jonathan Cahn for a minute. Okay, go ahead.
Coming up this Saturday.
And you can just tell them about it. You know all about it.
Coming up this Saturday, Jonathan Cahn's calling for prayer and repentance on the Washington Monument, and he's going to broadcast it live on internet. Everybody can join in, and it starts Saturday at 9 a.m. And my husband's saying that's Eastern time, so
yes,
if you're in Central time, it would be at 8 a.m.
Right.
You just go to thereturn.com,
.com. It's .org.
Oh, .org. I'm sorry. Thereturn.org. Thereturn.org. That is where you'll go, and that's where it'll be broadcast at.
Okay. And so that is going to be, that's going to start on Friday, and that's going to go through Saturday night. But, you know, technically he started doing this a week ago. What did he start doing?
He started it on Feast of Trumpets.
Right, and if you actually go to Jonathan Cahn or the Return or go live, Jonathan Cahn's got a live channel going on right now that's consistently putting things up, you know, and he had some really good sermons. He had one great that you couldn't serve God and Mammon last night, you know, and which is Mammon's basically money, you know, and so it was quite a thing. Anyway, his new book coming out. You know anything about this new book?
It's What's Going On in the World.
What's the
Harbinger? Name of it? It's the second part to the first Harbinger, which was all about how 9/11 was and all that happened in biblical prospects and all that. Yeah, it's very, very interesting. I learned a lot.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. You was telling me that you learned some things from Jonathan Cahn about how you looked at the world and different things. Tell me that again.
Well, for instance, the 9/11, when the Twin Towers was taken down, well, they were actually put there on 9/11 too. The beginning was 9/11, and the I really don't want to. I'm not real good at remembering facts, so I'd rather just read about or go see Jonathan Cahn's website, and he'll tell you all about it. But he's saying that in the Harbinger One, which I know I didn't finish to the end now, because he's saying at the end it says what's to come. It talks about the COVID-19, and that was in 2011 when he wrote about 9/11. He wrote about 2020, the coronavirus.
Right, and I don't know why we all keep calling it COVID, because it's not COVID.
It's the Kung Fu virus.
It's the Kung
China.
Fu virus. Okay, but ever since the Harbinger been released, people have been asking, is there an ancient mystery determining America's futures? Have harbingers of judgment continue to manifest on American soil? Is America closer now than before, ever before, about judgment? These things are going to be covered in the Harbinger too. And folks, as you know, you can go back on my radio archives and the Harbinger, the first book. Now, Jonathan Cahn, my wife asked me, we can radio aim it, but I doubt very seriously if I get him on radio, although I had him for the first Harbinger on radio. Then WorldNet Daily was publishing his books, and I was about the second program that he was on to talk about the Harbinger, and then I had him on a couple weeks in a row, and he talked about the Semitia, which he brought it out on the program, and he said, well, this is new. I haven't got through it all the way, and we talked about that. Those programs are down. Now, mainly, he's really too busy. He doesn't do radio anymore. He mostly does TV programs, but I am going to try and contact him for the record.
And I will clue you in that he's got a message for America that he's going to give on Saturday. It's a 10 a.m. It's 11, so it'll be 10 for Central Time.
It'll be 10 a.m. Central.
Right, and it's going to be the message for America. So make sure you check this out. And it starts Friday. Well, it's already started, but he's going to do a thing Friday night from 6 to 9. And then it goes on. Just go over there and check out the website and get all the details of all, and join in and pray for America.
Okay, I want to get to this next one. Okay, folks, there is the long-awaited book by that Joel Richardson's been saying for over a year, about 2 years, that is released now technically. You can go buy it, but they're not shipping yet. But the point is that From Sinai to Zion is out. But I'm putting it up on prophecyhour.com on the pastor's page, a link where you can go online and read the PDF for free. Because Joel, you can't tell Joel, well, you're just trying to make money, you know, you're in it for the money. Every book, everything that he does
is online. You can read it online.
You can read it. So, but Sinai to Zion unlocks the door to a treasure trove of often ignored Old Testament biblical passages that describe the return of Yeshua in glorious technicolor detail, he says. The book of Exodus tells the story of historical Exodus, and the Bible also speaks of a second Exodus. This book will blow your mind, and it will comfort you, and it will tell you, it will explain how I think and how what the actual Bible says. So we're going to have to get out of here. We'll go to break. Tell them where they can find us at.
You can find all of our contact information about the radio archives and about the mission church at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
Then the days of Noah keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought. Getting about the flood, in anger he once fought. The spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to buy. Some just think of money and how to get some more, but little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever. In Jesus, for he's our today. When the storm of darkness comes, in him you will be safe. Yes, the spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's gone blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find.
The English word Easter is derived from the names Eostra, Istra, Astarte, or Ashtaroth. Astarte was introduced into the British Isles by the Druids and is just another name for Beltis or Ishtar of the Chaldeans and Babylonians. The book of Judges records that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Ashtaroth and forsook the Lord and served him not. Easter is just another name for Ashtaroth, the Queen of Heaven, and was not considered a Christian festival until the 4th century. Spring festivals in honor of the pagan fertility goddesses and the events associated with them were celebrated at the time of Easter. Early Christians celebrated Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even, and a study of the dates on which Easter is celebrated will reveal that it is not observed in accordance with the prescribed time for the observance of Passover. After much debate, the Nicene Council of 325 AD decreed that Easter should be celebrated on the first Sunday after the vernal equinox. History reveals that the pagan festival of Easter originated as the worship of the sun goddess, the Babylonian Queen of Heaven, who was later worshipped under many names, including Ishtar, Sibyl, the Great Mother, or Astarte, for whom the celebration of Easter is named. Easter is not another name for the Feast of Passover. It is a transliteration of the name of a pagan fertility goddess. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan and
Wendy Catlin,
and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Okay, let's move down here to this. This is what I really want to get to, and then we'll go back to this if we need. Here is something that we need to go into. Okay. There's a new survey that shows that the majority of Americans no longer believe that Jesus is the path to salvation and instead believe that a good person is sufficient.
Really? 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called Yahweh or that is worshipped, so that he as Yahweh sitteth in the temple of Yahweh, showing himself that he is Yahweh. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time.
Okay, let me go into this first. Let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except there's a falling away first. There was a falling away first from the gospel that the saints preached, that the, you know, in the early church that the apostles preached, because they fell away from Torah. But beyond that, a greater falling away is what this is talking about. So this article points to that falling away. I keep saying I believe that falling away is happening right now, and here's evidence of it. But before we go into that, I got to go into the second part, because this is talking about the Antichrist. It says that the falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed in the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, not is God, so he is as God. As God is not saying this. You understand the difference? Let me ask you this question. If I say, as God, is that the same as saying, your God?
No, it's as Christ-like. No, it's so, like me saying, I'm like you. I'm not you, but I'm like you.
Right, so you're not really trying to be me then.
No, you're just trying to be like you. So this Antichrist is trying to be like God, not, he isn't God.
That, okay, and so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of Yahweh, showing himself that he is not Yahweh, but as a God. If you really broke this down to the Greek and original language, what it would say is, and this is what partially, there's such immense concept about the Antichrist in Jerusalem. You know, most of the world believes, most of Christianity believes that the Antichrist is going to come in and lovey-dovey, and everybody in Israel is going to think, oh, this guy's Yahweh, and he's going to fool them. That's not what the Bible actually says. There's going to be an invasion by this man, just as there was back in Maccabees, which he was the guy, the man then that did that, was a type or a shadow of the Antichrist. But let's go with this anyway. So he will come in. He will go into the temple. He'll declare himself to be God. He'll say, I'm greater than Yahweh. You understand what I'm saying? He's not going to be doing it peacefully. And he's going to split Jerusalem in two. And so going back to Joel's book talks about how Yeshua comes down in Mount Sinai, and he marches with his people to and makes war with them, with the surrounding nations, as he marches to Jerusalem to free Israel. Because that's his goal. When he gets there, then he takes care of this Antichrist dude and locks him up for 1,000 years. But there's the point. So that's what's going to happen. So Israel isn't going to be fooled into believing there's an Antichrist. Period. Period. That's not going to happen. That's going to come from the Antichrist nations. And part of that is Turkey and Iran. Now, if we look to the Middle East peace deal, which now another nation, it was announced today that Trump says that, well, I've got another Arab nation that's getting ready to sign on to the peace deal. At the time when this guy, or this Antichrist, rises up, what's going to happen is that the nation of Israel is going to be at peace. They're not going to be worried about it. Well, that's what's happening with this peace deal. So we see the Antichrist real soon. But let's go back to this. So there has to be a falling away first. So let's go with this. Go ahead.
Okay, U.S. Christians increasingly departing from core truths of Christian worldview. As part of the ongoing release of the Arizona Christian University-based Cultural Research Center's American Worldwide Inventory, the latest findings exploring perceptions of sin and salvation from George Barna.
Now, George Barna runs a group. It's called the Barna Group, and they do polls, and not just polls, but they do research on a whole bunch of different things, but they do it on Christianity. They can tell how many people's going to church and so on and so forth, and other things. And so that's who the Barna Group is. And how I found out about them was, folks, you'll hear Carl Gallup when he's on here. If you follow Carl very, very much, you'll hear Carl always say, well, the Barna Group said this or said that. So that's who that
okay.
is.
The group's director, you moved it. The group's director showed that nearly two-thirds of Americans believe that having some kind of faith is more important than a particular faith with which someone aligns. 68% who embrace the notion identify as Christians, including 56% of self-described evangelicals and 62% of those which identify as Pentecostals, 67% of mainline Protestants and 77% of Catholics also embrace that idea, the findings show. Slightly over half of the Christian respondents said they believe someone can attain salvation by being or doing good. A figure that includes 46% of Pentecostals, 44% of mainline Protestants, 41% of evangelicals, and 70% of Catholics. In addition to the viewpoint that eternal salvation can be earned, survey results show that 58% of Americans believe that no absolute moral truth exists and that the basis of truth and factors or sources other than God. 77% said that right and wrong is determined by factors other than the Bible. Wow. 99% said that the Bible is not God's authoritative and true word, and 69% said people are basically good. Wow.
Well, wait a minute. The Bible says that no one's good, but go ahead.
Wow.
We'll talk all about this in a minute.
If you look at some of the dominant elements in the American mind and heart today, as illuminated by the inventory, most people believe that the purpose of life is feeling good about yourself. Barna said that in a statement sent to the Christian Post, most people contend that all faiths are of equal value, that entry into God's eternal presence is determined by one's personal means of choice, and that there are no absolutes to guide or grow us morally. The philosophy of life contradicts a fundamental basis of what may be the two most significant documents to the longevity of and success of America, the Bible and the Constitution of the United States. Those documents agree that the nation will only be healthy and fruitful if it is populated by moral people.
Well, wait a minute. What do you think about that part of it?
I think that's 100% true.
Well, the founder said that the Constitution only works if it's done by moral people and people that want to abide by the law.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let's finish this and we'll talk.
Okay. By abandoning our moral standards and traditions and replacing them with inclusive and conditional preferences, we're losing the foundations that have enabled the American experiment to succeed for more than two centuries. We can only hope that our critical moral institutions, particularly the family and the church, will wake up and help the nation get back on track.
Okay, go ahead.
The results are from a January 2020 survey among the national representatives sample of 2,000 adults with a maximum sampling error of approximately plus or minus 2% points based on 95% confidence interval.
What that basically means is it's a pretty accurate study. So let's back up. So for this nation to be healed, we have to, well, according to what we started off the first of this program saying, that we had to humble ourselves and repent, right?
That's what the word says.
Okay, so we have to
pray.
And pray. Okay, now, here's how do you think Christians came to this thing?
Indoctrination.
By who?
By the people of the world.
But wait a minute, that isn't where Christians learn how to be Christian. Where do they learn how to be Christians at?
Well, they're supposed to learn it from the church.
Ah, very good.
They're supposed to learn it from the church.
They're supposed to learn it from
the
church.
That's why you have
church.
Me baffled there, because they don't learn that from the church anymore.
Well, that's the point. That's the point I'm getting at. So here's what we got, folks, and I can tell you this absolute certainty. When, and I've said it a lot of times in this program, and I'm getting ready to say it again, when...
Lyndon Johnson.
There you go. What was he doing?
He was a bad man. Yeah, he's the one that instigated all this stuff with his...
Hey, yeah. She does. I think she listens to me sometimes.
I've seen the show, and it was very wide-eyed opening after you see the show, because then it makes all the sense in the world.
Okay, well, he was a drunkard and a whoremonger, but the show didn't talk about what I'm talking about, though. They just pointed out that's who he was a drunkard and a whoremonger. But here's the point. Back then, the church was being the church, and the church would go after a politician if they were that way. So the church in Texas was after him not to get reelected to be a senator.
Right.
And so he brought forward the Johnson Amendment to another bill. The Johnson Amendment, folks, created the 501(c) church, what did they get out of the deal? What's the church get from a 501(c)?
They get donations from everybody.
How so?
Because they have a number, a tax number, no taxes.
Right, so tell me the process. So how does that tax number work? Let's say
you call somebody up and say, hey, would you help with donation? They say, what's your 503C number? And you give them that number, then it's a tax write-off for them so that they can give it to you, and they get it back from the government, and la, 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 la.
Okay, stop. So what she said is, folks, is that if I'm a store, and I call you up and I say, hey, can you give me a donation of food? They'll say, sure, give me your 501(c) number. You see, that number allows them to call the IRS if they wish to and immediately check on you and know that you're a valid ministry or church, so on and so forth, which you're not considered a church anymore. You're considered a charitable organization.
A government, yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah, you're a corporation. So once you all corporations, the head of the corporation is the state. You have to go by state and government rules that says no political speech.
Right.
So then the church shut up, and the church started getting rich. They could get anything they wanted because the stores, it was great, because then they could write off food that they're going to have to throw away in a couple of days, but they can give it to a 501(c), and the 501(c) takes it, and they get a huge tax write-off instead of just throwing it in a dumpster. And so they get there's a huge incentive to give. And, you know, while you say, well, that's good or whatever, but listen to that. We said, well, there's no political speech. That means you have to follow government rules. Messiah's Branch, by the way, is not a 501(c), but a church, if you read the thing, what it says, folks, it says that a church is already non-tax accessible, that they don't need to file for a 501(c) and get a number. That you do not need to do that. You just have to trust that church, and, you know, we're not allowed to give you what you call a receipt, but we give you a thank you note, or you could use a return check or something like that, but your donations are still counted if you want to claim it for taxes.
So what that 501(c) did was stop the churches from telling the congregations about sin?
Well, now, that's a little bit later down the road, but the first thing it stopped them doing was from, preaching against politicians. But then society then started turning sin into a politically correct issue. See, so when they started saying, well, you know, like gay marriage, you know, you speak up against gay marriage, well, that was politically incorrect, and you were doing political speech because they politicized it.
They come arrest you.
They don't arrest them. What they do is take away their 501(c). But now President Trump, when he came in, currently churches are exempt from that ruling because Trump made an order the executive order the first year that he was in to stop that. So a pastor can't be prosecuted for it now, or the church prosecuted. But the church is still, most churches are denominational and they're like corporate chains. And so if you don't go with their very strict doctrine, then you'll get fired, you know. So here's the point. So the churches quit preaching about sin. They got into the thing that's called a soft doctrine. And on and on and on and on what happened was, is so the church quit preaching about sin. And so now you end up with people like this. But let's go on. Let's see what the scripture says about it. Okay.
Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Yeshua Messiah unto good works, which Yahweh has before ordained that we should walk in them.
Okay, so let's start off with this. There's no way we can earn ourselves into heaven.
No.
Okay, not at all whatsoever. It says, "For by grace you are saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of Yahweh." Okay, we're going to go back into this in a minute, but the second part of this you have to do.
John 14:5. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Yeshua said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Okay, so let's back up through this whole thing. Now, that the article that you were reading was pointing out that people believe that there's other paths than Yeshua.
Yeah, you can go by your good works. By being a good person.
Or being by other faith. That's why, folks, you there's those things out there called interfaith ministries, you know, which has a bunch of different faiths together, and they believe that all are the same. That's an Antichrist attitude. They're trying to get you to believe that they're all the same, but there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son.
And that's why they're saying that this here word of Yahweh is just a book. It's not really his true word. They're saying that, too.
So that's what they have to destroy, and that's what evolution was all about, was to destroy that we were created by Yahweh and instead by evolution. So therefore it makes Yahweh out a liar in the first set of books, so therefore the whole book is corrupt. But let's go to this. For it says, "But we are for his workmanship, creating in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, which Yahweh hath ordained that we should walk in them." Now, with this is two part. It's kind of tricky. When it says your gift of Yahweh was a free gift. Well, first off, what do we do first? We have what? Realization?
Realization, repentance, acceptance, and turn away from it.
Okay, realization. First, we realize we're a sinner. Then we repent of that sin. We accept it, and then we turn away, which means we turn away from our sinful way. And then when you turn away from your sinful way, you automatically start producing
fruits,
which is works.
Right.
And so that's what it's talking about. And so it says it's not of works, so you can't earn your way there, but as soon as you become saved, you are to walk in good works. In other words, you're walking the way of Yeshua HaMashiach, which is all about producing what you called it?
Fruits.
Right. So
you'll know them by their fruits.
Yeah, a bad tree cannot produce good fruits. So you know them by their fruits. And so there it is, folks. Back to the first of this that I started was we were talking about a falling away. If that isn't a falling, the American church from a falling away, I don't know what is. Real repentance has to come for America to be saved. And so that's what we're walking in right now. Absolutely. So, having said all that, do you have any other comments about any of that? Well,
my only comment is make sure you go check out the return and join in on the National Day.
Well, we still got 5 minutes, so what do you want to talk about?
The Mission Church.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'll tell you a little story. We need go place every time we go, right? Well, we go through a lot, 60 to 70 every Tuesday and Friday, so 150, so that's a bag and a half or two bags a week, right, depending on how many we serve. So we have 30 plates, and Pastor Dan called me and said, "Hey, Sam's is quite out of plates. They don't have any plates." So I was almost, there was two Sam's, one east and one west, and I was almost to the turn off to go to east. So I said, "Hey, you caught me just in time. I'll go to the east Sam's and see if they got and pick some up." Guess what? No paper plates, no paper towels. So I'm like, "Well, what the hey?" Well, we did have another donation that came that had the single tray plates that I had, some of those stuck back in the closet that I was going to use for Thanksgiving.
No division in them.
They're just the single tray. Everything runs together in those plates. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll just make through the day. But anyway, we need to-go plates. Bad to-go plates. I'd like to stock about 10 packs of those so that I know that I can make it through the end of the year when election time gets closer.
Yeah, absolutely. But the point is, folks, is we are feeding a lot. And so, what did you make for food that day, and where did that come from?
The food truck brought a good donation in Friday. I get my Tuesdays and Fridays. Tuesday, Yeah, we had a grilled chicken breast. I made some rice with carrots and corn.
Those didn't come from the food truck, did they?
Yeah, them came from Leo.
Oh, I thought those come from that other place.
Well, what other place?
Well, you bought meatballs and something else.
Oh, yeah, that didn't come. Yeah, I did get that from my
and
other place.
And you don't use his name.
Yeah, I did get that from the other place. Yeah, so anyway, I got a food donation of some chicken breast and some meatballs that turned out my son read the label on it. They're chicken meatballs. I'd probably make them with gravy. I don't know what I'll make out of them yet. But for Tuesday, I made rice with carrots and corn and served the just heated the chicken breast up in the oven because they're already cooked. They're grilled, so you just got to warm them up. And then I put it on the rice and then two donuts and bread and butter. So you check out the videos because we make videos every time we feed.
Yeah, if you find me at Dan Catlin on, I've got a link I know someplace prophecyhour.com to find the Facebook page because we do have them. But if you go to the pastor's page, I post them over on the pastor's page every time that we do it. So they can go to the pastor's page and scroll through and find all the videos, because I do about two videos a day at the Mission Church showing what we do. And so they are there. But the point is, at the Mission, we do get, I want to throw this in today. This is something great President Trump did.
Today, I'm announcing that I will be signing the Born Alive Executive Order to assure that all precious babies born alive, no matter their circumstances, receive the medical care that they deserve. Yes.
Yeah, Trump's signing executive order today. If a baby is born alive in an abortion, they cannot let it die.
They've got to do all measures to risk
to keep alive. And so that's ahead of what. But you see, that goes in with the other part of the program we were talking about, abortions and things, and, that America happening to
Trump. And that is also happening Saturday. He is announcing who he's going to nominate for the seat in the Supreme Court. He's announcing that Saturday.
Right. And it's going to be a woman. We just don't know which one yet. He said he actually has about four of them or something like that he's talked to. But the probability is down between two. I'm not going to guess at it. I'll just wait and see. But praise the Father. So that's going on. But we do really need repentance. Now, we are going to chain of thought lost. Talk about Stan a minute. Yeah. Prophecy Club will be on later with me. Stan Johnson will be, and we're going to talk about that solemn assembly and one's going to come. That's a great time for it to happen, you know. Step on the devil's feet on October 31st, you know. And
right.
I'm sure that's probably what they're thinking.
Right.
But we'll get it out. I'll get it out of Stan a little later today and find out what's on his brain about it. But it's supposed to be a bigger gathering because this place can hold 1,000 people, and it's a church. It's a big mega church or something, and. And, of course, some mega churches now hold 5,000 people, but it's a pretty big venue, according to Stan. So he's going to be on with me in an hour, and we're going to talk about that. So, folks, you need to pray for this country. You need to pray for your own family and your own salvation. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But then charity, which is love, it starts with your home first. You pray for your loved ones, for them to get right. You care for your loved ones first, and then it goes out from there. If you are supposed to be Christ-like, that's Messiah-like, you're supposed to care for people. We're supposed to care one for another. We are our brother's keepers. Now, how can they donate?
You can donate online by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com.
Right, and if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. Donations keep us on the air. If it's for radio airtime or for radio period, please mark it for radio. And you can send by a check or money order if you want to do that way. If people ask me, and they ask me this over Facebook, they said, you got a Patreon account? I don't use a Patreon account. I can't. I got one through Podomatic. But it takes too long to get your money from them. You don't instantly get it. It goes to them. They hold it. You can only pick up your money every 30 days. But if you PayPal money, then it comes instantly. I get it almost instantly within seconds after you send it. And like I say, you can do it over the telephone, or you can mail a check or money order. You know, it amazed me. Our kids didn't even know what a money order was.
Oh, I think he knew. He's just being silly.
Yeah, well, that ain't what he said. I question him highly on it. And a couple of other people done it, and then his wife did not even know where to get one at or how to buy one or throw one out.
Well, when you live in a small city and you never go nowhere,
well,
you don't know where
you're going. Well, that isn't it. You're just not willing to admit an age thing. You know, ever since he's been an adult, he's paid by a card.
Yeah, he has.
He is paid by card.
That's
25 years. Right. He's paid by. So, yeah, they don't even know
what I'm
doing.
They all got their phones in their hands and they're facing their phones everywhere every time you see them.
Right.
You've not got to beat them to get their attention. Hey, I'm talking to you.
Right.
Hello.
All right. Well, tell the folks goodbye.
Okay. Goodbye, folks. We need peanut butter plates, forks, and all the stuff. If you want to help, you can go to prophecyhour.com and find out all our information there.
And
be blessed.
We did get another 40 larger print King James Version Bibles. Mm. But you must remember, folks, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.